and then shut the door, in an attempt to keep us from being overheard. There hadn't been anyone in the hallway, but you couldn't be too careful on Kupo. I suggested she keep her voice down before giving it to us.
Excellent, Drusel said in a whisper.
Knock however you wish, and then say, product of P plus L times A plus N is equal to the summation of P times A plus P times N plus L times A plus L times N.
She left her mouth open a bit wider this time, expectant. But I didn't know why. Okay, that's a little long for a passphrase, but we'll do that. Her mouth closed.
Wait, don't you get it?
Get what?
I foiled your plan.
At our blank looks, the Gibbon's head drooped and stared at the floor.
Oddest joke in the galaxy, and it's completely wasted on humans. I miss my husband.
She pressed a button on the wall, and the door slid open behind us in a clear invitation to exit. Once we were out in the hall, Nakari snorted.
Ha! I get it now. It's a basic algebra thing. You have to picture it written down in High Galactic instead of listening to it. She must think we're unforgivably slow.
I guess we are in that area, but you and I have other redeeming qualities.
Oh, you mean our cooking skills?
I snorted. No, definitely not that. Plugging R2 into a public terminal and using him to encrypt our message, we requested an operational update on Drusel's family and left it in an Alliance one-time account, setting up another one for a reply. If the Alliance was on alert here, we'd hear back. We then did what we could to disguise our appearance and hailed a droid taxi to take us to Mig Burkett's address. It was a short ride through the streets of Tonic, to a slum where Burkett's home turned out to be a box-like economy space crammed into a large cube of similar spaces. The block of apartments had probably gleamed at one time, but that was long past, and it now possessed a lived-in look. Except the people here obviously lived with sickness, addiction, and despair. No children playing outside, just hooded figures like us, loitering, watching, hiding intentions as well as identities. It was little wonder that Burkett would jump at the chance to buy himself a better life.
I guess a ship mechanic doesn't make much here, Nakari said.
Maybe not, but it shouldn't be this bad, I said. He might have gambling debts or a checkered past. We felt eyes on us as we moved to Burkett's door and pressed the visitor chime. The console politely informed us that the room was currently unoccupied.
That was a waste of time, Nakari said.
Well, we know he's not missing work due to illness. Had to eliminate that as a possibility. Turning around, I met several dark hooded stares that mirrored my own. And he'll be told someone is looking for him if he comes back. I knew that the Kapoans could hear me say that just fine, even though I didn't raise my voice. We visited two stale and smoky cantinas next, where no one had ever heard of Mig Burkett. But if we needed some information on Azor Nessun, we could have had it for a price. At the third cantina, the bartender had heard of Mig and was willing to tell us where he spent most of his time for a small consideration. We accepted, paid him, and he directed us to a fourth cantina that was only a kilometer away. We decided to walk, since the wind was mild and the sun was out, and the outdoor market in the district promised a journey surrounded by colorful stalls and loud sales calls.
You know, if we weren't on a mission, I'd really enjoy this,
Nakari half shouted in the wind.
I might be getting used to the smell, whatever it is. You think it's the Pazik?
That's a good guess.
It's kind of nice in a way. I mean the strangeness of an alien world, when you're not worried about anything but experiencing it.
I agreed. Traveling through the galaxy would be perfectly pleasant, were it not for the Empire trying to kill us. We'd never gotten a really good look at Mig Burkett back at the hangar, so as we approached his alleged favorite spot, I wondered how we'd recognize him. Turned out,
He made it easy for us. He walked out of the cantina wearing his gray and green Nessun courier uniform when we were still 20 paces away. Unfortunately, he recognized us, too, even though we were somewhat disguised. We stuck out a little in tonic as two humans. Hoods and robes were great for concealing details, but they couldn't hide the fact that we weren't built like Capoans and didn't move like them. And it was tough to confuse us with other humans when there were so few others around in the local area. Most off-worlders stuck to the vicinity of the spaceport, and we were deep in the native part of town. With a snarled curse, Mig bolted around the corner, and we gave chase. R2 blatting a stream of noises that probably asked us to wait for him. I discovered in the space of 5 steps that Nakari was a much faster runner. She was taller and had a longer stride than me, but she was also in outstanding shape. She was faster than Mig, too. Before he could escape the alleyway and lose us in another crowded market street, Nakari pulled out her blaster and stunned him. She turned to me, licked her finger.